Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drew.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Now, good listeners, this could be one of the great shows that we've ever performed. Phil, what's 26 minus 13?
Got halfway there.
At 13. Difference.
Rick, here I am standing up the other side today. And why am I standing up? Because I had my butt kicked yesterday. So
this, for the second time in a couple of weeks, good listeners, is again Phil's comment that we could not be beaten by Modric. Could not be beaten. No, they weren't beaten. They were flogged.
13's not a flogging, but we should have beat a lowly ranked side. And we fell at the hurdle, as they say.
Is there a good explanation?
No. Oh. got beaten yesterday by 13. Our rink went down by 13 and one of the other rinks went down. So luckily, Rick, is light at the end of the tunnel. A couple of sides below us also lost. So guess where we're sitting? We're sitting top.
You are sitting top, but when you're at the top, the only way you can go is down. And it seems to me that having gone through the pre-Christmas season undefeated...
9-1. 9-1. Yeah. One game.
So what's the problem?
Don't know.
You don't think that going yabbing on Friday is a good preparation?
I tell you it was a good day.
No. What about in mental and physical preparation?
No. The way I am, it didn't make any difference.
Oh, right.
Physically, that's strong and healthy.
Right, now you just tell us all.
There's not much to tell, Rick. I think we'll move on from it. Wednesday was good, Rick. Did you see my score? I had another win.
Yeah, Wednesday.
The team went down by 5, but I got up by 5.
But
so
you told me Wednesdays don't count.
They don't. Good practice day.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting on to the local bowls, Rick, was a very, very exciting last round. Here we are Sunday morning, raining in Gawler.
Yes.
Raining in Gawler.
Well, spitting.
You got your clothes off the line, so it's raining. Last week, quickly, Friday and Saturday, Rick, it was. So Friday night was some really good games. Newry absolutely thumped Lindock, 69-39. Yedunda beat Mount Pleasant, 59-47. Angaston getting over Kapunda, 60-45. And Freeling came from nowhere, 53, defeating Tanunda 51. Now the story gets even better for Freeling, Rick, because they've come out on the Saturday and they've beaten Angaston. Can you believe that?
But how can they?
The star-studded lineup of Angaston.
Yes.
With all their imports and recruits.
That's right.
Oh. So they've beaten Angaston by 4 shots.
So do we have an explanation for the turnaround at Freeling?
I'd say it's probably like the Paynham explanation.
In reverse.
Drop one that they shouldn't have dropped, I'd say. Anyway, and then Newry got over Kapunda on a bit of a heavy deck, they were telling me up at Newry. 99-82. Lindock defeating Yedunda, as should have been. And Tanunda beat Mount Pleasant. But Rick.
Yes.
This is how it's happened then. Angaston finishing top. Even though they lost a game, like Paynham.
Yes, yeah.
They finished top.
It's sort of like a mirror image, isn't it?
Lindock finished second. Kapunda third. Newry third and Kapunda fourth. But the big movers in the last two games was Freeling. Good old Freeling out there at light there. They've come up to fifth and missed out by 1 point of getting in the finals.
I'm glad you've given them heaps all season.
No, I love the Freeling Bowling Club. Got some very good friends out there.
Have you?
Yes, Julie Campbell and Shane Marslin and Nathan Marslin. No, they're good people out there.
Giving them short serve.
So they came fifth, and Tanunda dropping down to sixth. So, Tanunda still had a chance of getting in the finals, and they've finished sixth.
Yeah, the wheels are falling off at Tanunda.
Rick, ask me how they went yesterday.
How did they go yesterday?
Well, guess what?
What?
Kapunda turned the tables on Newry and beat them on their home deck yesterday. So Kapunda into the next final. Newry gone.
Wow.
Angaston accounted for Lindock. So Lindock will play Kapunda now. So that's our local bowls. I've sort of narrowed it down because we were a week behind because we couldn't do it Friday. I was out yabbing. So
Well, we could have done it if you'd chosen not. And this is how
what a beautiful
this
day.
Is how good a friend he is, folks. He bragged about how many heaps of tons of yabbies they caught. Do you know how many I have been walked through the door?
Probably what you should have got.
None. Absolutely none.
Anyway, Rick. So
did did you ignore that comment?
Yes, I did. Oh, okay. It's gone straight to the keeper, yeah, as they speak.
And I love yabbies too.
So anyway, so that's the local Barossa Light Bowl. So we're into the prelim final.
Yeah.
Angaston go into the grand, and we're over to the cricket now, Rick.
Well, I've been telling you how good Travi is all along.
Won't be dropped for 5 years, the rumour has it. Should not be dropped for 5 years.
Phil, the comment I'd like to make is, okay, he's gone out with the license to kill. And we've discussed before that Travi, if he can bat in a hurry,
yep,
quite often can pull it off. And the circumstances were that was the way to go.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to ignore that. What I am going to say, though, is that it is interesting to me that the side that has batted first in all three tests have lost.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. That's right.
And so it only goes to show, and I'm not trying to be an India apologist, but they say, people who choose to say they've cheated, they've prepared these wickets this way, what way? Well, the reality is that the Indians didn't bat much better on them than the Australians did.
Mm.
And the fact that batting first, that's obviously, if you're out for 100 in the first day of a test match, you're behind the eight ball from there on in.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, everything aside, you can only win under the circumstances. But the fact is, and I think I've said this on the show before, the Indians have to bat on the same pitch that the Australians do.
Mm.
Now, you can say, they're used to it or they're not used to it. Well, the fact is that if you don't know what you're getting, as proved beyond doubt in this test, then they're no better or worse at handling the conditions either. The only thing I'll say in finishing is that for once, I really believe that the foresight, and it doesn't happen very often, of Cricket Australia in sending Kuderman and Murphy to India in the second half of last year to attend clinics has proved to be a wonderful asset. The only thing, having just praised them, what I can't believe is that, okay, they picked Murphy in the original squad, but why they would have chosen to ignore Kuderman and pick Agar, who has been basically a non-success in the spasmodic test appearances he's had. And, of course, in the end, they say, well, good night, nurse, come home and dial Queensland and get Kuderman, who gets 5 in his first test.
Mm.
So the praise is there. I mean it. I think they should learn from this and maybe spend a few weeks and money investing next time we go to India of sending our test batting squad over there for a while.
Really? Yeah.
Fancy.
Probably.
And even perhaps playing a warm-up game or something, anything like that.
But what about the GOAT? 8 wickets.
Well, yeah. I mean, the GOAT never ceases to amaze me because his performances over his entire career are simply outstanding.
Mm.
And it only goes to show how wrong I can be, way above what I expected. But
I agree.
If you keep on keeping on, then you can hardly knock the fellow.
Mm.
And he's bowled well.
He drops them on the spot all the time, doesn't he? Not much variation. Yeah. He's just bang.
So, but then again, in a test that's over in 2 days, it really would take nothing away from the Aussies. It just means that it's basically Jack's game, who wins the toss, who doesn't win the toss.
Yep.
And just because they've got up and won this one means nothing in terms of the last test, in terms of a result, what sort of pitch they'll get. I might say, Phil, I don't know whether you know or our listeners know, but they're playing the last test on the largest sporting arena in the world.
Is it? Really? Yeah,
it holds just a lazy 138,000 people, I think.
And there'll be about 38 there.
Oh, no, there'll be 138,000.
Oh, really?
There.
They'll fill it.
Well, it's in India.
Yeah, I know. But, hell, they've got to come and watch us.
Yeah.
I must admit, Rick, when I saw, I reckon it was down playing, it was on the Wednesday, I reckon, playing bowls, and I came in and they were 60, 70 or 80 or something. I thought, well, how many are we going to make if they've only made 80? Yeah. I thought, we'll make about 50, you know.
The funny thing is that, they looked a disgrace, and it was a disgrace, the track.
Yeah.
But I listened on the radio, or ABC Sport Radio or whatever it's called, to Travi and Labuschagne getting the winning runs, and they reckon that it played better
On the last
day.
We were listening too. I shouldn't mention that again. Cleaning yabbies out at my mate's winery. And
did you hear that guy say?
Drinking wine and eating yabbies.
Oh, I love yabbies.
Anyway, and we were listening too. And I mean, it was just a one day, wasn't it? It must have been playing all right.
According to the commentators I heard, they reckon it was playing better and more predictably better. Yep. Than any other stage of the game. And it is, as I said, we've already said it, that's the way, it's the only way Travis can play.
Yep.
And if the conditions are suit, that's fine. But, you know, my argument is, and he'll definitely go to England and all that, but unless there's a setup in a game for that circumstance, then, you know, as I've said, if you ask him to go out and bat and survive for 4 hours, that's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, that's right.
Or a different kettle of yabbies in this.
Oh, don't bring them up again.
Right. Okay, what were you going to say?
No, it's all good. Oh. All right, so let's move on.
We've carried on a bit, but so we might forget about the Redbacks and their 111 or whatever and go straight to the
Bronx. They didn't get beaten, did they?
Now, Phil.
Yes.
Have you heard about the controversy surrounding the Barossa?
I did text message Chris Gers. I haven't heard a reply yet, Chris. So we have researched too, Chris. We've done our research. Yeah. He sent me a little text that perhaps we don't research enough. Not in those words, though, Rick.
Now, for our listeners from elsewhere, incredible controversy in the Barossa and Light, mine around last week.
Wowee.
When... it was a one-day game.
Yep.
And it is alleged, right? We need to use the word
alleged. Of course we do.
Alleged.
Yeah.
There are a number of grounds because of the what could happen in the final settlement of the four.
Yes.
Who, despite the fact that the bomb, the Bureau of Meteorology, suggested there was rain to come, chose not or forgot to put their covers down.
Well, they didn't. Really?
Well, it is alleged that they accidentally forgot.
Forgot.
Now, you know, anyway, we won't go on with it other than to say that the beneficiary, above all, was Lindock.
Okay.
Who were due to play Tanunda.
Yep.
And I would have thought that Tanunda would have started
favourites.
Yes,
I think we did tip Tanunda to win.
And that would have meant that Lindock didn't make the four and Tanunda did.
Yep.
However, if you don't play, the points are there and Lindock finished up in the four.
Wow.
Now, it is only a suggestion that that the groundsman
forgot. Okay.
But it is it is an interesting and very sad result that the final four was basically settled on covers not being placed. I might say it didn't affect being in the four, but a similar incident is alleged to have occurred at Sandy Creek.
Oh, okay.
In
might
the match.
Be the same guy.
Look, it's only a suggestion. I mean, anyone can forget.
Yeah. But I've seen Chris Gers at Tanunda in his underpants putting the covers on because he quickly ran out. And,
right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I will admit that the game that also was washed out at Sandy Creek, between Sandy Creek and Malala, it may have affected, if with a result rather than not playing, it may have affected the order of the four, but they would have both remained in there.
Yep.
However, enough said. Let's
that's
just
a big,
very
big thing though.
It's a disgrace.
If imagine Trent Gers's language.
Well,
at
the thing is, and Trent again, we won't go into the detail, but it seems as if there is a bylaw that suggests that covers should be put down, particularly if there is a forecast of rain. However, in a brief discussion with a couple of umpiring gurus, it seems, which seems now with hindsight an oversight, that there is no penalty for not putting them down. So that's got to be straightened out. That's, you know, I would think the next executive meeting or AGM could be interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'd better quickly go as we record this Sunday morning, midway
through the games,
the semi-finals, and we can't go on. I'm in the middle of umpiring the Sandy Creek Malala semi-final. Sandy Creek won the toss, batted, got away to a good start. They lost their first wicket at 84, all out 185. And so after Riley Greenless and Zach Krutner got away to a good start, Jamie Diner was about the only one who contributed. So they lost basically 10 wickets for 100.
Yeah.
Now, Malala in reply, 0 for 26. Jake and Matt Birchmore's 14 and 12 not out. All things being equal, which you could never say in a game of cricket, they should get those runs, particularly
since,
which has really put Sandy Creek under a lot of pressure. Diner and the Rooster Henke opened the bowling. Diner went down first. I think, to be honest, he went into the game with a hammy and he pulled it and he was carried off the field.
Carried off. Wow.
A pretty major pull.
Yep.
And lo and behold, an over later, the Rooster does his driver, his quad. So they're going to be two bowlers down today. Anyway, the other thing, the other game, the other semi-final, and it's probably not very fair because it was only alleged, but probably justice has been done. Angaston are playing Lindock. Angaston, just a mere 9 for 375 from their 75 overs, with Greg Bain just making the odd 218
Greg,
not out.
Wow, well done, Greg. Right,
so, my prediction, which means that it won't happen, is that that Angaston, well, I can't believe they're not going to win, and I think Malala will get the run, so it could be an Angaston-Malala grand final.
With a couple injuries up there. So, Rick, I did miss a couple things quickly. Steve Darzins from Walkover Bowling Club, must mention him, he won the club championship on Friday night, I think it was. So congratulations to Steve. He's a listener on here too. And Rick, Friday night, what are we doing? What are you doing?
Well,
got my pairs championships.
Oh,
club pairs.
Phil, I'll be in Port Lincoln.
Oh Rick.
Gee, I'm sorry.
There I was waiting for a bit of support.
I'll fly back.
A bit of a clap,
you
know.
I'll fly back.
Well, no, all good, mate.
Is the form any better than Saturday form?
Oh, I hope so. Right, let's go to the joke.
Anyway,
Rick.
Right. After a very, very bad round of golf, Paddy went home.
Yep.
And shockingly, he beat his wife to death. Feeling a bit guilty, he rang the police and confessed. A few minutes later, a police car screeches up the driveway and two cops banged on the door. Paddy let them in and the police inspected the corpse. Policeman said, "She's your wife." "Yes." "And you killed her?" "Yes." "How did you kill her?" "I beat her to death with my one iron." "How many times did you actually hit her?" "7, but put me down for 5.
Sounds like my goal, Rick. Always sort of, you know, rounded it down a bit.
Yeah. All right, team, I hope you've enjoyed it. And until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.